Praise God. Thank you, Brother Jim, for another opportunity to stand and try to preach the gospel. I thank you all for the kind invitation again to come. All you've done, everything that's went on, I appreciate everything you've done for us. Give honor to your pastor. Your pastor is why. It's just the way it is everywhere you go. When you walk into a congregation, I'm subject to the pastor. The pastor is the overseer of the church, and I've said this, and I know, I can tell by you all's response that you all have heard the who's who of preachers. I believe it was maybe Brother Tim or maybe his wife was telling me, two guys that had pastored here in the past, and I knew them both, and they're great preachers. And then I heard your pastor preach in Alabama just the other day. First time I ever heard him preach. Never heard nobody preach on that topic before in my life. You've heard the who's who of preacher. I know that. I really do. You've got a good run and go at this hill. You've got a good run and go at it. God's helped you. But I'm going to say this, and you hear me. Out of everybody that you ever heard preach, nobody will ever preach in this pulpit as good as your pastor. They won't nobody. Somebody might come in here and you may run laps around here. But when eternity reveals everything, you'll say with me, nobody ever preached in our pulpit better than our pastor. You better give heed to what he says. He's the man that watches for your soul. Boy, I need somebody to help me, don't you? I really do. I give my pastor a open right, my permission to critique my life. I'm not afraid of being critiqued. You take a good horse, and there may be three or four things you don't like about it, and you'll critique it a little bit, and then you'll like it a little better. Anybody whose life is open does not mind a little fine-tuning. Is that right? I look like you're afraid of me. I ain't trying to make you afraid. I mean, I give anybody. I've had people, I've told them, I don't want to be hard to talk to. I want to be easy to talk to. I'm not going to blow up or turn red-faced or try to do any of those things. I just want to know if there's something I'm doing wrong. Please tell me. Amen. I may not, but I ain't going to blow up. I've seen people, when you say something there to them, it just reveals what kind of spirit they got, and they just go in one of these awful spasms ever was. I've told the Lord one time, an old guy come to me, he said, I need to talk to you, and I knew I was in trouble when he said that. And I said, well, okay. And buddy, for about a minute and a half there, he just red-faced, and when he pulled that finger out like John Wayne pulled a six-shooter and started pointing at my face, for just a second there, if somebody just turned red, come up, and I wanted to say, get that finger out of my face. But I didn't. I listened to him when he got done. I said, sir, you're a little tore up. And I said, let's just shut this thing down right now. And I said, when you can get a hold of yourself and conduct yourself like a Holy Ghost-filled gentleman, I said, I'm willing to talk to you about anything. But I said, we ain't going to get nothing accomplished talking right now. Let's just wait a little while. No matter what happens, no matter what they say, no matter, I am not above being critiqued. My pastor has done it a bunch of times. They bragged on me one time when I went somewhere to preach. And one old boy said, you better hush up bragging on him. He said, he's going to swell or he bust. I said, I go to Trinity Holiness Tabernacle in Hazard, Kentucky. Dwayne Allen's my pastor. If you swell me up, he'll let the air out of me real quick. I don't want to get like that, do you? I want to be something God can use. I want to be teachable. I want to be willing to change if God needs me to change. You put me on the wheel, Lord, and I may not understand all the spinning, but I want to be the vessel you want to make out of it. You believe the Lord can help us tonight?
Yes.
Turn with us in the book of Psalms. I want to read a few verses of Scripture and begin to talk here and see if the Lord will help us. In the book of Psalms, chapter 136, we'll begin reading with verse number 1. Give you just a few minutes to get there. Psalms chapter 136, beginning with verse number 1. Let's see if the Lord will help us here. We talk about these verses of Scripture. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Can the church say amen about that?
Amen.
For His mercy endureth forever. Verse number 2, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Verse number 2, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. Would you ask the Lord one more time, please? I know you've already prayed to help us, Father. In the name of Jesus, whatever it is, God. Union Grove and Calvary Holiness Church needs your presence. Help this congregation, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Help us, God, to expound these Scriptures. You know, really, I think out of all, you know, the reading, this chapter of Scripture is pretty apparent, you know, what the subject matter is when you read this chapter of Scripture. It's about God's mercy. Amen. I think probably out of all the attributes and all the things that I've learned about the Lord, I've read about the Lord, and that I've experienced about the Lord, and probably, you know, the thing He talked about in the Bible, He prepareth a table before us in the presence of our enemy. I think, brother, out of everything that I've sat down at that table and had to eat in the presence of my enemy, more than any other thing that He's got on that table, I think, without a doubt, head and shoulders, more than anything else, I've had to go to that table for mercy. Can anybody say amen? Your pastor a while ago was talking about a guy that was just reminiscing mercy, Bill or somebody, mercy, mercy. And I prayed today and wondered whether I was on track when he said that. It helped me a little bit. But I want to preach to you just a little while and let us remember in all that we try to do for God, and all that, I do not believe in compromise. I mean, somebody that will let a little opposition cause them to just hump up and forsake the truth of the gospel is a harlot. Amen. I am not into compromise whatsoever. If God says it, I believe it. It just like the brother said a while ago. If there ain't but four, believes it with me. I heard read the thing one time, heard preachers talk about it too, about a bunch of preachers that got together talking about a subject matter, and they all come up, find it, come down. Everybody said their little old piece, and one little preacher said, well, God said it, and I believe it, and that settled it. Got quiet, everybody thought the subject matter was over, and a few minutes later another preacher spoke up. He said, no. He said, God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not.
Come on.
Amen. I believe in the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. There is nothing else that this world needs more than they need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I preached that message down there in Alabama, the Lord showed me at the first of the year the perplexity that our nation is. It's not that they do not know what to do. They know what to do and they will not do it. The answer to this world's problem, the solution, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Now, I know it's not a popular thing in the era that we live in, but I and all my standards and all the things that I stand for and the things that if you're a connoisseur of preacher's tapes, you're going to hear that I've preached about. If you find them tapes, they're every one in the Bible. But I do not believe that a preacher that will stand for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ without presenting it rightly divided is any profit to the kingdom of God. And all the standards that you stand for and all the things that you try to teach from the Word of God, you must never forget the mercy that every one of us has had to go to that table and sit down and partake of. I read and just looked up that word mercy, and I found definitions from different people on that word mercy. And this is one that I really like that I wrote down. Let me read this to you. This man said that the definition of mercy means to exercise compassion or forgiveness, a willingness to spare when it is not earned. I heard an old boy stand up in church one day and start to testify. And he said, "The Lord has blessed me because I have come out from among the world and I pay my tithe and I do not go to this and I do not go to that like the worldlings go. And because I have lived the life of the Bible, God has blessed me." When he sat down, something inside of me said, "Baloney sandwiches." I said, if a man was to put a tracer on that feller and trace him backwards, he wouldn't have traced him backwards very far at all where he'd find the place. Had it not been for the mercy of God, he wouldn't be where he's at right now. And wherever you're at with God, and whatever you've grown to in God, and whatever standards you live to in God, you must never forget it is the mercy of God that took you from where you were to where you're at. I read in the book of Lamentations, chapter number 3, and verse number 22. Listen to what the Bible says. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. His compassion paleth not. And listen to verse number 23. And they are new every morning. I don't know about you, but there's been a few days that I've needed so much mercy to get through that I wondered if I'd used it all up, only to find out that He makes a brand new batch of it every morning. He's not willing that we perish. He's doing everything He can to get us there. And one of the prime things that every one of us has been partaker of more than any other attribute of God is His mercy. It's of His mercy. You are not consumed.
Is. I appreciate where I'm at. I appreciate what God's done for me. The separation from this world, the teaching of the gospel, is to not make us live this crazy life that everybody looks at us like we're crazy, but it's to let us live this life in the world that we're in, free from the dangers of worldliness. Amen. I used to be worldly as a gal. I went to church. Some people would tell you I wasn't even saved. I saved the day was long. I went to church for about a month with a pack of Winston Lights in my pocket. I didn't know a man shouldn't quit smoking. I never in my life. They said, I went to an old boy. I said, I got saved the other night. He said, "You did?" I never shaved, brother. I trimmed it about twice. I never shaved in my life. I look like something other. I've got a few pictures just to remember. But I don't like to show them because I don't like to glorify that lie. I know nothing. I got in a car one night, started to work. I pulled up to an intersection, put it in first gear, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you told me if you'd ever feel this again, that you'd at least try. It felt, you ever watch Mama when she washes dishes and when she gets done, she wrings that dish rag out? It felt like everything in me, that's the only way I can describe it, just wrung that dish rag out. I hit first gear, I hit second gear, I hit third gear, and by the time I got to fourth gear, I was a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And I went about a half a mile down the road where I had to turn up on the hill and go in the coal mines to go to work, and I walked in there, and my faith all swelled from crying and blowing up. They said, what's wrong with you? And your old Grizzly Adams walked in there with his cigarettes in his pocket and said, I think I just got saved. They said, saved? What's that? I said, I asked Jesus to save me. Felt like Mama wrung my dish rag out. And they looked at me like I was crazy. But they was afraid of me. They wouldn't say much to me because I was about crazy. And I really wasn't sanctified real good right then. I went to church with them cigarettes in my pocket. Nobody said a word to me. They'd make an altar call. I'd run to that altar call, and I don't know what would happen. I went to a Church of Christ for a month. They didn't make altar calls. I made one. When they preach, it's time to pray. That's all I knew. Didn't have no better sin. And they got to looking at me, thinking that I was doubting my salvation, and they said, what, you got to, I said, no, I'm saved. I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do. I've been reading in this book, and I got to reading through that thing, and I asked them questions, and they never done nothing wrong to me. All I can ever remember that they taught me was something straight out of Scripture, and the best way I know to explain it, it's like kind of like I was when I was growing up. It's just a pair of pants I just grew out of. I got so big, couldn't get in them no more. I just moved on down the road. Amen. I just moved on down the road. Went to an old Cleveland Assembly Church of God. They said, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That old boy asked me at the back of the door, you received the baptism since you got saved? I said, sure, they baptized me in the creek over the mouth of Middle Fork. I knew I answered him wrong. I asked him what he's talking about. They give me places to read. I want to reading. I went to an altar, began to pray. I said, man, I don't know what to make of these guys shake and jerk and quiver and dank. But I said, I feel goosebumps run all over me. If there's something more in this that I ain't got, I want it, Lord. I want it. And I never will forget the day when he said, well, you got in your pocket. I said, Winston, my. He said, throw them away. I said, well, okay. I never smoked another. Now, when I preach to a guy about laying them things down, I won't be stern, and I won't be right, but I don't want to forget how I got to where I'm at. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? I come into this church, Brother Jim, and I preached about getting your eyes back on Jesus. And I preached about when you get your eyes back on Him, you keep the wonder of God. And I preached about the importance of that wonder making us change and turn us into just lodestones, a magnet that just everybody wants to be around you because you're such an uplift. You're born again. You're walking in newness of life. And I come to you tonight to tell you when you rub shoulders with people out there and people from other churches that may not know where you got to, don't you back up from the truth, but don't you forget the mercy that got you from where you were to where you're at. And you better extend it to them the same way it extended to you. I read in the book of Psalms, chapter number 37, verse 25 and 26. Listen, I've been young, now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and he lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Have you ever seen a time that God's not been merciful to you? You're here. We went to jail ministry one time. My pastor got up and he said, "All you men raise your hands and thank God for being in jail." And they looked at him like he's crazy. "Well, you're crazy." He said, "I ain't crazy." He said, "You bunch of thugs." That's why he said it. They kind of laughed. He said, "How many would be in church today if you wasn't in jail?" They looked at one another and said, "Probably none of us." God's merciful. God's merciful sometimes. The definition said, when we do not deserve it. Amen. I never will forget going to Richland's Tabernacle one year, and I heard Ralph Lowry get up, and he read out Psalms chapter number 85, verse 10. And he said, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." And old brother Ralph got up and began to preach on when mercy meets truth. And he preached, and he got over there in St. John's chapter number 10, where them Pharisees caught that woman in the very act of adultery. And they brought her in there, and they set her down in front of him, tempting him, and saying, "In Moses' law, it says that we're supposed to stone her. But what do you say?" And old brother Ralph said it was one of them times where the psalmist was talking about right there in 85. He said, when truth, they had every right in the world. That's what Moses' law said to do. It said she was caught in the very act, said to stone her. He said that day truth was fixing to walk into a situation that it had every right to do what it was about to do, when out of nowhere mercy come a-walking. And while truth was on its way to execute what God had established for it to do, mercy walked up just before it got to it and said, "Hello, truth." And truth looked at mercy and said, "How you doing today?" "Well, I'm doing all right. What's going on here?" "Well, this woman's caught in the very act of adultery. I've got a stoner." Mercy said, "Hey, truth." He said, "What? You care if I handle this?" There's been a lot of times in my life that I might not want to admit it when the truth was against me. But I sat down at the table and God had a plate of mercy. And I took it even when the truth was against me. I don't want to ever forget mercy, do you? Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 17. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. You ever extend mercy to somebody and get burnt slap up? I mean, that's usually like a dog. You was trying to help them. You was trying to have mercy on them. You was trying to help them. Yeah, you got burnt, but you done good to your soul. I'd sit on jury duty one day. "I do not like that. I do not like that." And they brought this old fella up and they was wanting to hang him. They didn't put a good fight. He's probably guilty. I believe he's guilty. They didn't make a good case. They told us to make a judgment on the evidence that was presented. And the evidence that was presented was pitiful. I don't fault them. Them public prosecutors have got a line pitiful long, and them lawyers that tries to defend somebody are made to defend them. They have to get on that roll. It's a mess. God have mercy. Oh, he is to have mercy. They got in there wanting to hang that little old feller, and I said, "Look here, boys, I'm a minister of the gospel. I do not like this position. And there is a very good chance that you and me right here can make an error right here." Have you ever been faced with some problem that you didn't know what to do, and there was a good chance you could have made the wrong decision? And I told them, I said, "If we're going to make a decision here based on the evidence that was presented before us, and there's a chance that we could make an error, for heaven's sake, if we make an error, let's err on the side of mercy." do you so good. For that man that showeth mercy does good to his own soul. Micah chapter number 6 and verse 8, he that showeth, he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. He showed us what's required of us. Mercy. How many times? God won't do it, I thank Him. But if He was to plaster your life on that wall, every word you said, every thought you thought, He don't, because He's merciful. It blows me away, brother. It absolutely blows me away. I don't believe I've ever met a man in my life that preaches much harder than my pastor. But I don't believe I've ever met a man in my life that when someone will repent or come to the light of the gospel, that will fall down on that man's neck and hug him. And treat him as if he'd never done a wrong. T.R. Stump, an old preacher back in our country, was in a camp meeting one time, and a bunch of little young boys was getting up trying to out-preach one another. And they's about 19, 20-year-old, and they's trying to bar down on how to raise children and everything in the world and didn't know nothing about it. I mean, just boys are just getting started into life. And old T.R. Stump got up there, they got through an old-age preacher, grabbed that pulpit, and he said, "Now listen, boys." He said, "We ain't in no horse race here. We ain't trying to outrun one another." And he said, "There's some things that some men ain't got enough wisdom to handle." He said, "Leave it alone." He said, "Now you can preach holiness tight as a tick, and I'll take it if you got the love to cover it. But if you ain't got the love to cover it, for heaven's sake, leave it alone and let some of the men that knows how to handle that, handle that. I'm going to tell you, I'm all for truth. But brother, I'm all for the mercy of God. For I have to admit that I've been made partakers of it when truth could have stoned me to death." And the Bible said that mercy, truth, rejoices against my... I almost see when mercy walked up there, grabbed old truth by the hand. "Hey, truth, do you care if I handle this?" And truth said, "Well, I'd be glad to let you handle it." And just broke out in a huckabuck, said, "I didn't want to stone that girl. I know it was against her. And I thank God mercy came along and took care of it." And reached down, "Brother, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Brother, we're going to reach out to this community. But when we reach out to this community, we're going to reach out with a heart full of mercy." God's going to help us. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 7. "Blessed are the merciful." You want to be blessed? "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Luke chapter number 6 and verse 36. "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 12. "Put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Verse number 13. "Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." James chapter number 2 and verse number 13. "For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment." Go get her, mercy. I'm going to shout a lot. Mercy meets truth. church. Mercy and truth meet together. It's kind of like that clock back there on the wall. A little shorthand that points to the hour is truth. The long hand that points to the minute is mercy. And for whatever one movement of truth, 60 times mercy moves. I like that second hand's likened unto the love of God. And for every one movement of mercy, love is 60 times more than that. Brother, we're going to meet God as holiness men and women on how we presented this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be very careful. I want to make heaven my home. I want to take somebody with me, don't you? I really do. I want to take somebody with me. God's been merciful. Micah chapter number 7, verse number 18. He delighteth in mercy. Psalms 103 and verse number 17. It is of the mercy of the Lord. It's from everlasting to everlasting. That's a long way, brother. The devil ever come tell you, had God give you a plate of mercy? That wasn't no good. God didn't forgive you. Truth was against you. You should have. That didn't. I said, yeah, he did. He said, if I'm faithful and just, he would. And I did. And he did. And it's going to last forever. From everlasting. And that's so far down the road you can't see it. And if you was to ever get there and finally turn back around and look at me and say, preacher, I got to everlasting, then I'm going to tell you the second part of that. To everlasting again. Go on with it. The only way you can't make it, the only way you can't do it, is when you quit. It is the liar's all-out purpose for existing to make you quit. If I can make you quit, if you don't quit, he can't do nothing with you. It may be all to pieces today, sis. But you can walk into your prayer room. I heard an old preacher say one time, I know I'm having the awfulest time right now I ever was, but when I get home to my prayer closet, I'm fixing to have me a move of God. It is wonderfully amazing to me how one trip to prayer can change things. Pray about it for a week and nothing happens. The devil said, you are wasting your time. Men ought always to pray and not faint. We got men and women that faint before God moves. And all at once, you go back that one time, and what looked so hopeless and so scary and so out of your ability to help just begins to fall in place. It's mercy. Really? Really, Brother Jim? Out of all I know about my Savior, the most amazed thing I am about him is his mercy. I mean, when you read my text that I read to you in Psalms 136, and this writer goes all the way down through this chapter, and he talks about in verse number 3, to him by wisdom made the heavens, but his mercy endureth forever. He stretched out the earth above the waters, but his mercy endureth forever. He made great lights, the sun to rule by day, and the moon by night, and the stars.
In verse number 10, he smote Egypt. In verse number 11, he brought Israel out. In verse number 13, he divided the Red Sea. In verse number 14, he caused them to pass through the midst of it. He overthrew Pharaoh. He let the people go through the wilderness all them years. He smote great things. He slew famous kings. But over every great thing he done, the writer said, he done that, but all his mercy, all his mercy. Yeah, he parted the Red Sea, but it's his mercy. Yeah, he done that, but all it was his mercy. Because of everything I know about God, and every time I've ever seen him move, the most amazing thing to me about God is his mercy. Sure, I've seen people heal. Sure, I've seen people deliver. But when I look at what he does to broken men and women that sin has crushed, and he gives them another chance when they don't deserve it. I say with the writer here, oh, it's mercy, but it's mercy, but it's mercy. But it's mercy. But it's his mercy. His mercy. I read one time about Catherine Booth. Her husband started the Salvation Army. And them people went out into the streets where them homeless people was. And they clothed them. And they fed them. And they brought them into shelters. And some were converted. And others wasn't. But some were touched and others wasn't. They extended mercy and some people burned them up. But they extended mercy and it took sometimes. And when Catherine Booth died, and they had her funeral in Congress Hall, and they laid her in front of that big long building at Congress Hall, and dignitaries from all over the world lined up to walk down that aisle and view Catherine Booth. And in the middle of all them dignitaries with all their fine clothes on, there came the prostitute and there came the homeless and they came the street people. And when they seen that blessed lady laying in that casket, they fell down and began to weep and said, she's the only one that loved us. She's the only one that ever cared. She's the only one that reached out and tried to make a difference. Listen to me, brother, I know they're wrong. And if you go out there with them, you'll do just like William. You'll come back with the strength of what they're into on you. But brother, you've been made partakers of mercy. And it's time for us to get out of these for a while and to reach out to this sin-broken community and try to see if it'll take. Yeah, you'll get burned up. Go anyway. Go anyway. You've been made partakers of it. Go anyway. Feel the Holy Ghost. Really do. Feel the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to you. I do. I feel you. I read about an old army general that marched his men through the night, through the rain. And when the day broke, the rain began to subside. And they looked on the horizon, and there was the most beautiful rainbow they'd ever seen. And one man hollered out, "Captain, what is those lights?" Another man said, "That's a rainbow. Ain't you never seen a rainbow?" "Never have seen a rainbow." "Captain, what is these lights?" The captain said, "That's an ever-living symbol of the mercy of God. It is so established in Christianity that when you read in Revelation chapter 4 about the vision that John recorded that God gave him in Revelation, that it was forever established behind the throne of God, that rainbow to ever let us not ever one time, never, ever, never, ever, and all we do and say and sing and shout and do to never, ever, ever let us forget about the mercy." About an old leader one time that walked through his troop one night and he found a man asleep. He pulled a dagger out of his side and he stabbed him through the heart and killed him. And he wrote a little old note and he pinned it on him. "I left him as I found him." I'm glad God don't do us that way.
don't leave us as he finds us.
Thank God.
Amen. I read about a mother one time that went to Napoleon when her son had been caught in a second awful act, very grievous sin. She said, "Oh, Napoleon, have mercy on my son. You don't understand. He don't deserve mercy. This is the second time I caught him in this awful act." She said, "Oh, Napoleon, if he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. And I only plead for mercy." I read about a guy that started the church. The Holy Ghost is helping me. I hope you'll listen to me. Sometimes people, but I know when he hits me. An old guy that started a storefront church in a real rough part of town. And he had 10 or 15 people coming. He had a little mama and two little boys that would come. Through the winter, 2 or 3 years they'd come. They would have coats or shoes. Mama would come in sometimes. One day she come in, whole side of her face swelled and blue. She brought the boys, went to church. Daddy was an awful, mean, ungodly drunk that they really is. The old preacher shell closed up the storefront church one Sunday night. And I began to walk down the street home. He said, I turned down a little old alley. He said, in the darkness I felt something grab me by the collar. And cold steel hit my back. Don't turn around, preacher. You just go where I tell you. Said he walked him down that old alley, kicked the door open to an old empty storehouse building, hit pitch black, walked him in there. You better not turn around, preacher. I'll kill you. I'll ask you something, preacher. I've killed 2 or 3 men. I've beat on my youngins. I've beat on my wife. I've stole. And he went on forever. I can't remember it all, Brother Jim. Doing all these things. And I'll ask you something. He said right in the middle of it, he said, I realized who he was. And all I could see was that mama bringing them little youngins in there with shoes wore, just barely hanging on their feet, and her face swelled up. He said everything in me tensed up. I knew who he was. I'll ask you something, preacher. You think God could save something like me? He said it was the Holy Ghost. He said I wanted to say, no, you're going to go to hell. But he said it was God just rose up in me. And what came out was he that cometh to God, I will in no wise cast him out. He said, I heard the door slam as he run out. About 2 weeks later, we come for Sunday school, and two little boys come running in the church. Guess what, preacher? Guess what? What? Daddy's coming to church. Daddy walked in the church, and he sat on the back pew. I preached, he done nothing. We dismissed the service. He left and went home. That Sunday evening, here come two little boys running. Guess what? Guess what? What? Daddy's coming back. He come back, he sat on the back pew. Nothing great happened. The preaching wasn't outstanding. Nothing went on special. I made an altar call. That old ungodly sinner got up out of his seat. No show of emotion. Walked down that aisle to that altar and bowed down and wept for about 15 minutes. I said to myself, that ain't good enough. But he got up and he left. And midweek service, the youngins come a-running. Daddy's coming back. And he came back. And he came back. And the youngins come with shoes on their feet and coats on their back Mama come in smiling, holding his hand. And within a year's time, the preacher said he was my song leader in my church. And he's been with me 15 years, as good a one as I ever got. Did he deserve that? If he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy stand all over the house. He that showeth no mercy destroyeth the bridge which one day he must cross himself. We've got work to do, don't we? We've got to do it right. Compassion, long suffering, forbearance, forgiveness. Preached before and preached on standards, and new people in the congregation didn't like it and wasn't going to do it. I wouldn't let them leave on me. I made sure for the service dismissed. I got back there and hugged their neck and said, if you'll run old Dairy Queen with me, I'll buy you a hamburger. Let's go out and have a hamburger before we go home. You don't preach this gospel, you got to have a love to cover it. Every one of us has been partakers of mercy more than we want to admit. It's the greatest thing I know about God. When God dealt with my heart this evening, I didn't know what I was going to preach. I didn't know what to do. Zach and Kelly Cordell, you ever heard their tape? Two old preacher men from up home, he's a boy and his girl. I'll let you listen to it. My goodness. I felt the Holy Ghost. I went out and I took me a little drive and I plugged that in there. And them youngins began to sing. I said, my, 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 my. And then I began to remember how I got from Eastern Kentucky to Union Grove, Georgia. And all I could do was raise my hands and look at the skies. I drove down that road that just done that right there. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His mercy. I'm changed, brother. I'm changed. I ain't sticking this under a bucket. I'm going to Walmart with it. I'm going to work with it. I'm going to suffer the reproach of the gospel. I'm going to strap a smile on my face. And I'm going to take whatever this world's got to dish me. Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I won't just conquer. I'll be more than a conqueror. If I need mercy, it's on the table. If I need truth, it's ready for me. I can't lose for winning. He'll make every low thing straight, every high thing low. I am not going to quit. That's enough mercy to get me there. I'm going home, brother. I'm on my way home. I'm on my way home, Brother Jim. I'm a-going there. I don't know what road it'll take me, and I don't know what lies there, but I'm a-going there. I've got my mind made up. Whatever happens, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I can't lose with God. These altars is open. It's time to pray. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it.